Good. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you thank those that are playing different times. We have the offertory played for, and the invitation. Praise the Lord. I just love that. Anybody have a good word for the Lord tonight, real quick? Anybody have a good testimony, something you'd like to share? Anybody at all? Yes, ma'am. Back row. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're all about. We bind together, try to help one another, love one another. Amen. And that's good. And if you'd have seen my wife a week ago, especially Monday, whoa, you know, but it's what the transformation in that few days. It's just tremendous. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Wendy. Thank you. Amen. Okay, we need to pray for what's his dad's name? Do we know? Do we know or not? Okay, that's fine. We want to get him in the prayer bulletin. That's okay. Matthew? Okay, we want to pray for Jamie's. Jamie's been around here a long time. You know, tremendous. To me, that's tremendous. And I appreciate that. I really do. I was going through some old pictures that were just kind of hanging around. And, I saw Jamie this age, okay? And so he was young. So praise the Lord. I want to thank you for your faithfulness, Jamie. And Matthew Nihill, we want to get that in our prayer bulletin and be praying for him. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Penny. That's exciting. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's good. Good to see the young people out, you know, and along the lines of the teenagers, we've had some little youngins even going out Saturdays. You get it in their heart early, you know, and you water that seed, you know, it'll stick. It really will if we're consistent. You know, truth of the matter is we have to be consistent. If we, and I talked many weeks about what we have leaders, we as mom, dads, leaders, preacher, whatever, we drop the ball. We kind of actually not just dropping the ball for us, but those who follow. And but that's good. That's exciting. You know, and like I said, we've seen 8 to 10 teenagers regularly on Saturday going, and then some of these same teenagers are coming back, at least half, if not a little over half, have been going out Saturday. That's great. Anyways, anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, if it's not you, it's going to be me, so you better speak up or else. Yes? Oh, I didn't. Just remind you, those who are working in the program, you're involved. You teenagers, I know you have a program. I know you little kids have a program. Brother Joe is working with you there. But if you brought some adults, some visitors rather, adults, okay, adults, you brought visitors, however it's supposed to say, make sure you fill in the paper out back, get it turned in. And again, at the end of the 5 weeks, those who bring the most visitors during the program, you get yourself a $50 gift certificate for Olive Garden. Amen. Where there's food, there's happiness. Amen? All right. Anyways, Brother Roland, come and read the Bible for us.
If you could please stand, our scripture reading tonight will take place in Luke. And I'll tell you right away. Luke chapter 52, 22. Luke chapter 22, 54 through 62. Sorry, Luke 22, 54 through 62. And we'll read responsibly. Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This is the man who was also with him. And when he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of truth, this is a fellow who was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know him not. I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you so much for these precious people that have gathered here today to listen to the preaching of the word. Lord, so many times we find ourselves as Peter. We can look at others, Lord, and Lord, judge them as well, but how many times have we been in the same position? Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that tonight, through the preacher, you speak to our hearts. Give us prepared hearts. Give us humbled hearts, Lord, that will respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that in a special way you would use the preacher to speak to our hearts, and that you would move in him, Lord, and just bring about the word that will convict our hearts and bring us to that place of meeting with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church, for its people, and thank you so much for the power that's in this place because of you. And we love you today, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of course, my message this morning was basically Mark's account of this, I think. And of course, the title this morning was And Peter. And my message tonight is the title, Why Peter? Or I was going to title it this way, The Surest Path to Backsliding. You know, I hesitated to preach this. I feel like, boy, I picked on Peter all day, and I hesitated to preach this because I don't want you to think that, I might be a little repetitious in some content tonight, like I was this morning, but I hope you see the actual direction. I think you'll see it along the way. I believe you will anyways. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. As a pastor, I've been in the ministry, full-time Christian service, for, I'm going on 11 years now. And nothing hurts me more than a child of God who once was in service for God, whether it be full-time service. The truth of the matter is, we're all to be a full-time Christian. But nothing hurts me more than a child of God, someone who's been locked in, who's walked with God, who has served maybe in some capacity in the church, or even preachers, I hear this. And nothing really hurts me more when they leave the fold of God, just walk away. It hurts me, and it's but by the grace of God that would happen to me and you. That's why it's so important that we keep our guard up. That's why it's so important that in the truth that I preach this morning, you know what? You can try to walk as far away from God as you can, and thank God it doesn't matter how far you go, but you know what? You're still in the palm of his hand. I thank you for that. But before that happens, let's try to figure out what is it going to take to get us there. Okay, why does that happen? And so tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, why Peter, or the surest path to backsliding. Just by way of introduction, Luke chapter 5, again, you can go back there in verses 1 through 12, you'll find the calling of these disciples. In this group that was first called, James and John were called, and along with them was also Andrew and Peter. They were fishermen, if you would call that. Yes, Peter was my subject again, like I said this morning, and I brushed through some of these thoughts to some degree this morning, but I want to view a little bit what caused him to backslide. What caused him to veer away from the very Christ whom he personally served, and what started and why? You think about this. You know, here he was on a fishing boat, you know, fulfilling his occupation, doing his job, and Jesus walked by and saw something in these men, said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I mean, that kind of baffles me. And what did they do? Did they keep fishing? I mean, they finished up. You know, if you read that, you'll hear a story how they got a big drought of fish and so forth. But, you know, after that night, they just stopped and they followed Jesus. That baffles me. I mean, they left everything. They left their occupation. Matthew's account says what they did. Matthew's account is James and John, they went ahead and left their father. They left, you know, hey, Dad, you know, we're on the boat. Okay, I'm done fishing. I'm going to follow Jesus. And Andrew and Peter did the same basic thing. They just left all and they followed Jesus. That just is tremendous. And to think of the very person, Jesus, they got to follow him personally. I mean, they got to work with Jesus personally. I mean, you could extend your hand to Jesus. You could touch him. What a tremendous blessing that must have been. Why, Peter, would you walk away? Why, Peter, would you walk away for just a time, if you will? Did you not realize who called you to serve him personally? Jesus called you from the fishing for occupation to fishing for men? Hey, Peter, Jesus saw something in you to have called you personally to work for him? That is pretty special, if you ask me. You know, I hope I never get to a point in my Christian life where I take the work of God lightly. I hope I never get to that point. And it's easy to do, Brother Robles. It can be very easy to do. It can be very easy to get kind of, you know what, it can be very easy to get into some routine that this really becomes easy. You know, it really does. I mean, even as a preacher, and I'll pick on me for a minute, you know, the truth is, you know, I could get to a point where I have this thing down pat and just coast along. And the truth of the matter is, if I really want to, I could coast along without anybody ever knowing. But the truth of the matter is, I will eventually spiral downward. And as a preacher, I must walk with God. As a preacher, I must keep my guard up. Why? Simply because I believe there's a host of people that's counting on me. God has just placed me in this position, and I hope I never get to the point where I just take this lightly and flippantly. Let's flip the coin over a minute. We should never, none of us here should ever get to a point where we take our Christianity lightly, flippantly. Think of the price that was paid for it. Jesus. He sacrifices life, shed every drop of his blood so that we could serve him. What a price that was paid. And why would we want to treat it so flippantly? Why would we want to go ahead and treat our Christianity like it's maybe a game? Why would we want to just go ahead and, I use this term several times, but why would we want to just go ahead and treat it as status quo? Why don't we want to grow? Why don't we want to get near to our precious Savior through the precious words of God? Why don't we want to sit under the preaching of the Word of God, whether it be just a teaching time or whether it be a tough preaching time? Why don't we desire it? A lot of it simply is because I know our society today, they're laughing at what we're doing tonight. They are mocking what we're doing tonight. You know, and maybe, you know, some of you teenagers, some of the peer pressure, they may laugh at you because of your stand for Christ. They may laugh at you, adult, if you go and you, at lunchtime, at work, and you pray, and maybe read your Bible, they may laugh at you. And after a while, I'll have to admit, that gets a little bit tough, doesn't it? It gets a little bit hard. And the truth of the matter is, you know how much easier, because of the peer pressure and the pressure that's placed upon us, the truth of the matter is how easy it is to say, you know what, I don't want to be mocked anymore. I don't want to stand like this anymore. I'm so tired, God, of being laughed at. And all too often I see Christians one by one by one. No, you don't lose your salvation. But I see it one by one by one. They just eventually, where I said this morning, they're under that umbrella, if you will, of the safety of the will of God. But it's not long before I can't take this anymore. I can't take the mockery. I can't take the being made fun of. I can't take this anymore. So slow but sure, the 3-time-a-week Christians that come to church every single week, you read your Bible, you know what? You soon become 2-to-1 time a week. You read your Bible every day, but you soon became 7 from 7 days to 5 to 4 to 1 to 0 as far as your walk with God. And the truth of the matter is, Christian, we cannot survive with that kind of Christianity. If you so choose to step up, you know, the safest place to be is under that umbrella of the will of God. And regardless whether people mock, regardless whether people laugh, regardless of whatever, you know what? I'm encouraging you again tonight, you stay there. Because it's so much more worth it. But Peter, why would you want to give up this call that God gave you for a time, if you will? Hey, Peter, Jesus saw something in you. That's pretty special, if you ask me. If God called you out, he wants to use you. That is special. Thank God he counts us worthy to serve him. Why, thank God. You know, and you know what will keep your heart tender is you just thanking God. God, thank you for allowing me to be a soldier of the cross. You know, that'll help you keep your heart tender if you really think about it. If you get up, you be thankful to God for everything that he's done for you and realize if you leave this umbrella, what may happen to the things around you, that'll kind of keep you under that point right there. I'm trying to say, you know what? Because every time I see somebody leave that place right there, I've seen teenagers do it, I've seen families do it, I've seen individuals do it. Every time I see them leave that, you know, it's amazing what happens around them. Their family starts crumbling. Their life literally starts to crumble. They pick up things they thought, I'd never pick up. They pick up sins that they thought, I'd never commit. Hey, why would we choose that path? Peter, have you forgotten who you really work for? Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings. Hey, Peter, may I remind you of the miracles that Jesus performed and you had a part of many of them? Hey, how about the miracle of changing water into wine, John chapter 2? How about the miracle of healing of the nobleman's son, John chapter 4? How about the miracle of healing your mother-in-law, Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, Mark chapter 1, and Luke 4:39? And probably he doesn't like to be reminded of that one. All right, anyways, moving right along. But it's okay. Well, you know, we can laugh tonight, amen? Sorry, just checking. We can smile. It's okay. All right, Jesus is still on the throne. Say, well, preacher, I didn't like that comment. Well, it's okay. I still love you. Let's just love me back. All right? But the truth of the matter is, but hey, Peter, let me just remind you of the miracle of catching the great number of fish, Luke chapter 5, the day that you were called. How about the miracle of healing the leper in Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1? How about the miracle of healing a paralytic, Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 2, Luke chapter 5? How about the healing of the withered hand, Matthew chapter 12, Mark 3, Luke 6? How about the healing of the centurion's daughter, Matthew chapter 8, Luke 7? How about the raising of the widow's son, Luke chapter 7? How about the calming of the storm? See, I'm talking about miracles here, Peter. You got to be a part of this. Or even if you weren't called yet, you heard about it from the man who committed them, who performed them. How about the calming of the stormy sea, Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, Luke 8? How about the healing of the Gadarene demoniac, Matthew chapter 8, Mark 5, and Luke 8? How about the raising of Jairus' daughter, Matthew chapter 9, Mark 5, Luke 8? How about the healing of 2 blind men, Matthew chapter 9? How about the walking on the sea, Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, John 6? Hey, you got to see Jesus walk on the sea. No man's ever done that. How about the feeding of the 4,000 men and families, Matthew chapter 15 and Mark 8? How about the raising of Lazarus, John chapter 11, just to name a few? Hey, Peter, that's something special. You've got to walk with the man who performed them. And by the way, we get to serve the man that performed all them miracles. And you got to be a part of them, or you've heard about them. Why would you do what you did, Peter? I don't understand it. Why would you go ahead and turn your back on the very Christ whom you serve. Hey, Peter, did you forget about those whom you have seen saved? Did you forget about the leadership role that God put you in? Hey, Peter, do you remember that Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? And you committed to that call that day. Let me tell you something. We commit to that call of that Sunday school class. We commit to that call of that bus route. Hey, let me tell you something. If you committed to it someday, you know, he wants you to fulfill it for life. You know, we get so, well, you know, you don't understand. I get so busy, so I can't work my bus route anymore. You know, I can't, you know, I get so busy and so forth. You know, if God called you to teach a Sunday school class at 25, he probably wants you to do that for thing for life. Or until you can't get around, if you will. Hey, you know, but Peter, how about look at that leadership role? Look at the fact that Jesus called you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Hey, Peter, what did you do? Did you go back to work? No, you said, I'm going to follow. Hey, Peter, you sure do serve a powerful Savior. Why, Peter, would you do what you did? Hey, Peter, Jesus taught you. You sat under his teaching and preaching. You served him. You knew that he was legitimate. You saw the reality of Christ. You saw what God did through his son, Jesus. Hey, Peter, remember in John chapter 6, you remember when the thousands walked away? We preached about it last Sunday night. When the thousands walked away from Christ, and you and the other 11 disciples were left standing, scratching your head perhaps, and watching them all walk away. And Jesus asked, will you also go away? Peter, how did you respond? Hey, I'll tell you how I respond in verses 67 and 68. Peter was the one that stood up. I said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, Peter, what's the difference between now and then? Why, Peter, did you go ahead and do what you did? Why would we go ahead somewhere along the way, and if we're not careful, we'll put our guard down, why will we make the same decision? You say, I'll never do that, preacher. Better be careful. You better be careful. Let me tell you something. You better put on that armor good and tight. You better keep that shield up because the devil wants everything he can to do everything he can to go ahead and try to destroy you. You better be careful. You know, Peter said the same thing. I'm not going to go ahead and deny you Christ. What was at that time when Jesus said, will you also go away? Peter, was Jesus good for you then, but he's not now? You know, maybe it's because it's not popular. You know, people make fun and mock you for walking with Christ. Maybe it's because it's not popular. Yeah, I know what we're doing tonight. It's not popular to the world. I know there's opposition. I understand, you know, I wasn't born yesterday. I understand that people may laugh and mock because we preach the word of God. We go soul winning. We want to live separated. We want to be what God wants us to be. People will laugh at that. But will you have the courage, church, to do what it takes to go ahead and live and continue to live strong and be the kind of soldier God wants you to be? Will you go ahead and keep on feasting upon the unsearchable riches of Christ, or will you walk away? Will you go ahead and keep teaching that Sunday school class, or will you come to a point where it's just too much for me, or I've kind of arrived, I can't teach Sunday school anymore? Will you go ahead and continue to work that bus route? Will you continue to walk with God? Will you stay in the center of God's will, or will you walk away? Peter thought he never would. Hey, Peter, you do not really realize just how good you have it. Hey, Christian, we don't really always, you know why we do? Why, you know why sometimes we do veer off? Because we really don't realize how good we have it. You know, that we kind of get, our vision gets a little bit cloudy and we really don't realize how good God is. I can't say it enough. We serve a great God, folks. I mean, he gave you life today. He gave you breath today. You know, and I don't take this for granted, especially more so now than ever, but I thank God that I have my wife to come home to. Boy, he's a good God. I thank God that I have my children to raise. You know, I serve a very good God. I thank God, even though it's a, you know, some of you may think it's a Ford, but I thank God for the Fords that he allows me to drive. I thank God for the roof over my head. I thank God for the food that I eat. I thank God for the clothes. What I'm trying to say, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. Why would we want to go for any other? You get to serve, hey Peter, you get to serve the Savior Jesus Christ. Why would we want to do anything other? Why would we walk away? Hey church member, why would we want to, why would you want to serve anything other than Jesus? Why would you replace God with the things that you cannot take with you? Why would you want, why would anyone tire of serving God on a bus, in a Sunday school class, or go soul winning? What a privilege it is to serve God. God, hey, he called you once, he called you for a lifetime, amen? Let me just say it again. If he called you once to do something, he called you for a lifetime. Hey, you stay committed to God. Don't be like them thousands that walked away that we talked about last week. Hey, be one of them minority if you have to. And stay committed to God. And stay committed to them little boys and girls that teach. And stay committed on that bus that rolls the streets of Plymouth and Carver. And stay committed to your children. And stay committed to your church. And stay committed to the old King James Bible. Hey, what I'm trying to say, why, Peter, would you want anything other? Why would you want anything other? Why would you, teenager, choose the music of the world and walk away from Christ? Why would Britney Spears be more enticing than Christ? Why would Garth Brooks be more important than Christ? Why would Eminem be more important than Christ? Why would Hollywood be more important than Christ? Why would the Super Bowl be more important than Christ? Why would the World Series be more important than Christ? Why would the loose lifestyle that Hollywood promotes be more important than Jesus Christ? What could be more important than giving our all to Jesus? What could be more important? Money? Is that more important than serving God? Your job? Is that more important than serving God? Your music? Is that more important than serving God? The Hollywood crowd? Is that more important than serving God? What is more important? What is more important? Why would you, child, choose to hang around the crowd that does not love God and makes fun of what we're doing? Why would you want to adopt the attitudes you pick from a TV show like Bart Simpson and other cartoons and pick up that kind of attitude, that kind of rebellion towards mom and dad? Why would you want that? Why would you want to backslide and leave the safety and security, the security of serving God? Why? Why would we want anything other? Hey, Peter, I just don't understand it. Peter, I just don't get it. Especially when I look at where you are. Peter, I'm talking about Peter here tonight. And I know Peter's got a beating today. I don't mean to beat on just one man in the Bible, but you know, the truth matters. There's so much truth about this man. And you know what? At the end of the day, I realize Peter really was a great man, though. We're going to try to get to that here shortly. But why would we want anything other? Christ, hey, Peter, Christ told you it would happen. He said in Luke chapter 14, verse 30, 31, that you would deny him, and what was your response? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to deny you, God, Jesus. I love you. He's not going to do that. Of course, not long after that, something happened, Peter. Maybe someone got your ear. That kind of life of serving God, maybe they said that kind of life of serving God and living for him is useless. It's not very popular. You know, why would you want to serve Jesus? Why would you want to go ahead and spend your Sundays at church or riding a bus? Why would you want to walk with God? Why would you want to read just a book? We have the book, by the way. But why would you want anything more? Why? Hey, look, Peter. One day you were walking with him and serving him. Maybe someone's still got your ear and they're saying, hey, one day you were walking with him, you were serving him, you were so called to follow him and so forth and so on. Now he's before the Sanhedrin, Peter. You know, it looks like to me, Jesus, and this is a devil's attitude, by the way, and it's carrying about in the world today because they make fun of us. But hey, Peter, you know what? Look at Jesus. He's before the Sanhedrin now. He's before the Sanhedrin. He's being mocked and ridiculed and accused. And guess what, Peter? He's going to be hanging on the cross. Hey, Peter, was it really worth it? Was it really worth it, Peter? You know, Jesus, hey, you know what? That God, that Jesus that you serve, you know, he's going to die. Hey, Peter, that crowd that you're running and you're warming yourself by the fire, are you listening to him? They're selling you a bit of good, saying, you know what? It wasn't worth it now, is it, Peter? Look at Jesus. He's going to be hanging pretty soon. Hey, Peter, did someone tell you that that sort of living is not worth it? I warn you, Peter. I warn you, church. I warn you, Christian. It will catch up to you. You want to leave that umbrella? You want to back away from what God wants you to do? Hey, let me tell you something. It's going to bring some ruin to your life. It's going to bring some ruin to your family. It's going to bring ruin. Hey, I plead with you, stay under the umbrella of the will of God. Don't you leave God. Don't you start backsliding. Don't you start looking at Britney Spears and Eminem and the Hollywood crowd. Hey, what I'm trying to say, what is more important than Jesus this evening?
But just where did it start for Peter? Some sure steps that he took to backsliding. Let me ask you a question, church. Are you following some of these steps? You know, Luke chapter 22, you see Jesus, of course, praying in the garden, and there's all these events, and I'm not going to park there tonight. Of course, the betrayal of Jesus and so forth, they take him away, and at this time, I see the first step of Peter's backsliding. In verse number 54, and I read, "Then took they him and led him," now that's talking about Jesus, "and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." The first step that I see here this evening, this particular time, this evening, is he followed afar off. You know, maybe kind of being a little bit inconspicuous. Maybe he was, I'm going to use one of these here, Sean. Maybe, you know, he followed afar off, maybe hiding himself, be a little bit inconspicuous, kind of, maybe just trying to stay behind a little bit, because the Bible said he followed afar off. Trying not to be seen, maybe hiding himself. He did not want to be linked with that Savior, as we see in just a moment. And here the Savior, the King of Kings, man, all the agony that he went through in the garden and all the trials and the betrayal of Jesus, of Judas and so forth. You know what? As I mentioned this morning, our Savior was having a pretty bad day at this time. He was having a pretty bad day. Why, Peter? Why, Peter, would you take that first step? And the soldiers take him away, and they take him to the high priest's house. And why, Peter, would you go ahead? I better have this. Come on. Can we get this thing running? Okay, testing. Okay, we're on now. Everybody hear me okay? All right. But picture just with me. You know, the men taking Jesus away, and Peter, he follows afar off and so forth, and they take him into the high priest's house. Hey, why couldn't Peter go ahead and be the one? Hey, that's my Savior. That's my Jesus. That's my boss. Hey, why couldn't he go ahead and take a stand? And regardless of what, it was God's plan, but why couldn't he take a stand and say, that's my Savior? But what did Peter do? He followed afar off. Our Savior in just a little while is going to hang on a cross for all the sins of the world. Our Savior already had a bad day. Our Savior, no doubt his heart was very heavy. You just study about the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter, what did he do? One of his loyal followers, what did he do? He followed afar off, maybe just kind of hiding himself a little bit. And of course, they bring him into the priest's house. Let's read on. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down, Peter sat down among them. Of course, we see that he followed afar off. Why not in the darkest hour of our Savior's life would you not draw close to him as possible, Peter? Why is it what people want to veer off when people veer off from the old time? Why do we want to veer off from the old time religion? That's what I'm trying to say. I got a typo there. But why would anybody want to veer off from something as great as serving the King of Kings? Why would we want to go ahead and veer off from the old-time religion? Why would we want to go ahead and veer off from the precious words of God in the King James? Why would we want to veer off from winning people to Christ? Why would we want to veer off from running the old buses and win little boys and girls to Jesus Christ? Why would we want to veer off from the precious old hymns of the faith? Why would we want anything more? Why would we choose to follow afar off? Why would we distance ourselves from the same very Savior who saved you? Why? Why would we want to have a good testimony through our lifestyle? Why would we not want to have a good testimony through our lifestyle, our walk, and our talk? Why would we choose the no conviction, the wishy-washy type services of our so-called community brethren? Why would we want to water ourselves down from the truth of the Word of God? And Peter, why would you want to follow afar off? Peter, why couldn't you stand up and even attempt to fight for our Savior? And today, our Savior is being mocked. What we're doing here tonight, I know, is being mocked. Our stand, our old-time religion way is being mocked. But why do we want to go ahead and back away from the very Savior who saved you? From the very Savior who died on the cross and shed every drop of his blood for you? The very Savior that gave you eternal life and gave you life more abundantly, as the Bible says. Why would we want to walk away? I don't understand it. Peter, I don't understand it. Just last week we preached on you taking a stand. Hey, you know, when the thousands walked away, you stood. Peter, why aren't you standing now? Does anybody know here tonight that we have the truth? That we can stand on it forever? Why would we want to follow far off in a day when so many are blinded and cannot... And by the way, let me just say this. The lost are counting on us standing. You may think, no, they aren't. You don't understand the market. But there's somebody, there's some lost soul that God wants you to win. And they're counting on us to stand for Christ. It might be a neighbor. It might be a mom or a daddy. It might be a relative. But they're counting on us to stand. And having done all to stand, they're counting on us. But why would we want anything other? I see Peter. He's backing off. He's following afar off his first step. Why would we want to change, Peter? Peter, you start off with following afar off. Number two, he warmed himself by the devil's fire and sat down among the wrong crowd. Let's go ahead and read it here. When they had kindled the fire, that's the devil's crowd, if you will, the world, they kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, and Peter sat down amongst them. He followed afar off, maybe trying to not be seen. But now you see Jesus in the hall there, and Peter's maybe, I don't know, he's just kind of warming himself by the fire. The devil's crowd's there, and he's kind of sitting there and maybe being still a little bit conspicuous, and Jesus there. Peter warmed himself by the devil's fire and sat down amongst the crowd. Go ahead. Play around with the world, teenager. See where it takes you. Go ahead, church member. Go ahead and quit on the things of God. Go ahead, hang with the drinking crowd. And you say it will not affect you, but it will. Go ahead and hang with the drugs. Go ahead and rub shoulders long enough with them. You're going to become like them. You want to hang with the wrong crowd? You want to rub shoulders with them? You want to rub shoulders with the sex crowd and the Hollywood crowd and the drinking and the drugging crowd and so forth? Hey, let me tell you something. You start rubbing shoulders, it's going to go ahead and bite you after a little while. You say, well, preacher, I can handle that. Well, you keep doing it day after day after day. Your guard is going to drop and it's going to look enticing. Hey, look at the Garden of Eden. You know, that old devil, sly devil, serpent, comes slithering in and destroys the whole world because of one piece of fruit and made it look good. Let me tell you something. You may think I stand strong. I've been saved for 25 years, preacher. That will never happen to me. Hey, Peter said the same thing. I'm warning you tonight, church, because I love you. Hey, look at Lot. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. First action was he saw, and eventually he went to the wrong place. He lived there. And look at the result. His wife was killed. Look at all the wickedness that went through, the incest and everything that went along with that lifestyle. You think it won't happen to you? It will affect you. Go ahead and start hanging with that community brethren. I'm talking about the wishy-washy services and the contemporary Christian music, so-called Christian music, and the different Bibles and the confusing Bibles and so forth, and the no standards. Go ahead and say, that won't affect me. Yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. And again, I say, we're the minority. I know that. But will you stand? Will you stand upon the old truth? Will you stand upon the old Bible? Will you stand upon the old-time religion? Will you stand upon the old-fashioned standards? Will you stand upon the old-time music? Hey, Peter, you were hanging around the wrong crowd, didn't you? You started falling afar off, and you were trying to be a little bit hidden, I think, perhaps, and start warming yourself by the fire. And then, course number three, look at what happened. You denied Christ. Jesus predicted it would happen, Peter. He told you it would happen. He denied Christ. Some woman and went ahead and he's a Galilean. Hey, you know, this man belongs to this, to Jesus. Oh, I hate these words. It bothers me when I hear these words. I don't like them one bit. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Peter, what'd you say? Woman,
I know him not. Peter, is that the same Savior that saved you, that called you? That was using you for the cause of Christ? Woman, I know him not. In about a space of an hour, verse number 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art one also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And you say it won't happen to you. Peter got to walk with Jesus. He got to reach out and touch and serve Jesus personally. You say it won't happen to you? Hey, my friends, my church, my fellow Christians, if we're not careful, it will happen. I'm giving out a warning tonight. Hey, listen, we need to, more than ever today, we need to keep our guard up. Because I've seen way too many families broken because they left where they were and they're over here. And I've seen families broken because of it. A few years ago, I used to run a chapter of the Reformers Unanimous in our church. And of course, I was a bus captain, many different responsibilities I had. I was a bus captain first, to be honest with you, and I started a bus route. And I came across out knocking doors one Saturday, and I remember leading this mom. I started picking up her kids for church first, and then I led this mom to Christ. And she came faithful. I mean, she got saved. And on a Thursday night following, I led her husband to Christ. It was just a tremendous thing. God was just really working. I went ahead and I talked to her, and I encouraged her to come to church, get baptized, and she did that. And she would ride every Sunday morning with her two children and her. Every Sunday morning, like clockwork, she'd be right on that bus, just serving God, being a part of the bus route and so forth. You could see her growth. And then her husband would start, you know, her husband, I mean, now these were working folks. I mean, they were out there, they worked job, but they just said, hey, pastor, I want to ride the bus too. And they just kind of helped out on the bus and so forth. But you know what? Mom had a problem. She had trouble with smoking. So they were excited when I started the RU program, the Reformers Unanimous program. They wanted to be a part and so forth and so on. And so they came. And let me tell you something. This mom went through the program. And let me tell you something. As a result of all that program does, she quit smoking. And that whole family came to RU. There was a kids program. We'd have them go. We could play games and stuff. But mom and dad would come to this program. They would just be a part of it. Every Friday night, they'd be there. They started coming to our, they were in our church, they'd come on a regular basis, and I'm telling you, they were a family that, man, I saw big things for them. They allowed me to pastor them, if they will. I counseled them. I mean, I just did a lot. I went out of my way to really help this family. Then something happened. I noticed they started missing church a little bit. The kids were still very faithful, but mom and dad started missing church a little bit. And I went up and I talked to them and sat down in their living room, talked to them a little while, and they said, now, preacher, we're checking things out a little bit. You know, man, we love you, we love the church and so forth, we love being a part of Calvary, but, you know, we're looking at another church. And, of course, I felt so, man. You know, and this church was not in line with us. I mean, it was not a JW. I mean, it was, they preached salvation, they had that, but they had their band and they had their contemporary music, all that other stuff. And I said, oh. I pled with them. I said, it's going to be, it's not a good move. I just talked to them just for a little while. But preachers, I'm okay. We're going to just try it. And they proceeded, and they went. Pulled the kids out. Lovely family, by the way. And boy, they were growing. But lovely family. And so, and I kept visiting them on and off. I was not, once they got locked in, I was not going to say, hey, come back. I wasn't going to do that. I just wasn't. And, but I'd stop in every once in a while, talk to them and so forth. And it wasn't long that they weren't even going to church. I stopped in and I talked to her a little bit and I said, hey. And she had another guy out on, one day she was outside, it was springtime, and she had another guy out on their deck. I said, hey, what's going on? I mean, how? And I asked her how her husband was doing. We've been divorced. So when did this happen? I said, just a month or so ago, and this was her new boyfriend. I remember walking down the street. I was really disheartened. I was a younger preacher, and I couldn't understand it all. I just couldn't. Why? And I remember seeing the boy. He was growing up. This was about a year time frame here. I remember seeing the boy and had his long hair. He was used to be very easy to talk to. He would give ear to the preacher. He'd really pay attention, but he just had a rebellious spirit about him. I walked away and I tried to encourage him a little bit. Love to have you on the bus, man. No, I don't do that. I go, what happened? There was a family that literally at one time they were growing and they were where God wanted them to be. But because they got distracted. And let me tell you something, I got a dozen other stories just like that. People that leave the fold, so to speak. They think, well, I'm going to just investigate a little bit of what's going on in the world and the other denomination, all this other stuff, whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. All of them dozen other stories that I can tell you, and I've got them. It's never worked out good for them. It's never worked out good for them. Hey, Peter, you started following afar off. Start hanging with the wrong crowd. And Peter, you said you'd never do it, but you denied Christ. Jesus who? Jesus who? I don't know him! And church member, teenager, you say, that'll never happen. Let that ring in your ears. Jesus who? You get to a point, teenager, where you can't take the mockery, you can't take the pressure, you can't take, you know what? And you say, preacher, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to seal it right here, and I'm going to pray for you. You seal it, you decide, I'm not going to ever deny Christ. I'm going to serve God. I will never go ahead and do that. I'm not going to follow far off. I'm not going to hang with the wrong crowd. And get to a point where I say, who is that man? Jesus, who? Jesus, who? Jesus, who? Jesus, who? I'll let that ring in your ears. Because if you're not careful, you may come to that point of me seeing you on the street. How's it going? Jesus, who? You've got to be very careful. You got to be very careful. Hey, the surest way to backslide. Why, Peter? Peter, why are you ashamed of Christ? He asked you to follow him, and now you're done denying him. Jesus, who? Why, Peter, why? Don't you realize who he is? Did you forget who you served? Do you realize what he's all about and what he's done for you? Do you realize what he's going to be doing in just a little while? He's going to die for all of mankind. And you said, Jesus, who? Why, Peter? Why would you be ashamed of him in the workplace, Christian? Do you not realize that fellow in the workplace is lost and on his way to hell? I can't bring it up at work. Why can't you bring it up on a break time? Does your testimony during the week line up with what you show us on Sunday? When you're at the workplace tomorrow and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, will your testimony line up? Can they at least see Jesus in you? Will the world at least see Jesus in you as you walk around Walmart and the mall and different things? Can they at least see that there's something different about you? There's a spring in your step. Hey, can they see Jesus in you? Or do we go ahead and we put on the worst garb and we want to blend in with the world and we don't want anybody to say there's something different about us? We don't want to see our little girls dressed right and our ladies dressed right. We don't want to see all that. No, we can't do that. Or do we want to go ahead and blend in the world? Jesus, who? Jesus, who? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we ashamed of taking a stand? Are we ashamed of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Our being ashamed causes us to be a coward. You take a soldier who goes AWOL. Now, the military don't think highly of that. What, the AWOL, is that right? And in my book, you know, I've always heard it, even from military men, they're cowards. They couldn't go ahead and fight for their country. And the Bible says, how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we can't even fight for our King. Jesus, who? Peter, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Are we willing to tell others, or are we ashamed to tell others about Jesus? Well, let me tell you something, church. I thank God Jesus wasn't ashamed of us. What a shameful, horrible death he paid. Stripped himself for all the world to see. Shed every drop of his blood. And today, slow but sure, churches, Christians, kind of leaving all that, watering down our services, watering down our Bibles, watering down our methods, our standards and everything, to a point where it's almost like we're ashamed. I can take you to church after church after church that we're really growing. Some of you can even think of them in this area. They ran the buses. They were soul winning. They were door to door. They were doing all this other stuff and so forth. But somewhere along the way, Jesus who? Jesus who? Hey, church, I love you, and I don't want that to come to a point in your life. Because listen, I've seen what it does to families. When we get to a point, we follow afar off. We start running with the wrong crowd. Then we get to a point of saying, I don't know that man. Everyone, doesn't matter. It'd be better to do it on this side of heaven. If you're like this here tonight, Christian, boy, you ought to confess it. So that you can get back in order and serve Jesus while you're here. But, Christian, if we choose to leave the will of God, and we die leaving the will of God and staying away from God, you know what? Yeah, you'll have your place in heaven if you're saved, obviously. But you know what? You're going to stand before the judgment seat. And the very man that we denied, that you denied, if you will, and you're saved, it can happen. You've still got a home in heaven. You won't have many rewards because of the choices we made here on earth. But the very man that you said, Jesus, who? You're going to stand at him, stand there at the judgment seat and say, you are Jesus. You are Jesus. You're going to see him in all his glory and all his honor. And all his majesty. And at that time, you know, if we want to sow our wild oats down here, and you can be saved, don't get me wrong, you just miss out on rewards and blessing, and you choose to die out in that big backslidden state, let me tell you something, one day you're going to say, man, you know, I denied you down there. You are Jesus. You are Jesus. Go ahead, world, laugh all you want. The surest way not to backslide, Christian, then, is this. Follow close to the Savior. It's the opposite. You know, Peter should have just gone, hey, that's my Savior. That's my Savior. Get my hands up, my Savior. And when he's being mocked at the workplace, what do we do? When his name's taken in vain at the workplace, what do we do? Hey, I don't want to hear you talk about my Savior that way. That's falling close to Jesus. Boy, instead of pushing him away, we ought to embrace him. And instead of falling afar off, we ought to go ahead at the surest way, not the backside, the surest way to go ahead and be where God wants you to be. Hey, you ought to be hanging on to Jesus. You ought to allow him to lead you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Follow close to our Savior. Follow close enough that He'll give you the right crowd to run with. You know, I happen to think we're the right crowd tonight. Faith Baptist Church crowd. Greatest crowd in all the world, bless God. Amen? We can say amen. I know we've been a little quiet tonight, but we can say amen. Greatest crowd in all the world is right here, as far as I'm concerned. And I know there's many, many other great crowds, great Christians out there tonight. We just happen to have the greatest church. Amen? Okay, we can get excited, all right? But you know what? You go ahead and you follow close to the Savior. You know, He'll provide the right kind of friends with you, for you. You know, He'll provide the right crowd. I'm with the right crowd tonight. I am. I know I'm with the right crowd. I'm feeling good, and I know that I have a church that loves me, and I love my church, and we have a good crowd here. Hey, what I'm trying to say, He'll give you the right crowd. Hey, how not to backslide, follow close, hang with Him. He'll give you the right crowd, and stand and say, that's my Jesus. Hey, that's my Savior. Hey, let me tell you what the Savior did for me. Hey, you know what? Hey, let me tell you what the Savior, you know what? He saved me. Hey, teenagers, you know that Jesus saved me? Hey, you know what? The surest way not to backslide is you follow close to Him and you hang on to Him. And the surest way not to backslide is you hang around the right kind of crowd and you get excited and you might get in the Spirit and you'll be able to go tell people, hey, that's my Jesus. Hey, my Jesus saved me there, Joel. Amen. Hey, my Jesus saved me. Hey, you won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You won't be ashamed. Hey, what I'm trying to say, that's my Savior. But maybe you're here and I've got to be through here. I don't think, give me a little liberty with this. I think it might have been about 30 to 40 days later. Peter, of course, you just look at this. This is a sad verse. Let me get to this before I say. After all this happened, Jesus predicted, you know, you're going to deny me. This had to have been what a sight this had to have been. And the Lord turned, verse 61, and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How He had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What did Peter do? He went out and wept bitterly. You know, you want to live in that backslidden state? I wonder what kind of look our Savior gave Peter. That look of disappointment. Peter, I told you it would happen. The very darkest hour our Savior went through, a very man that He called to serve Him was there, and he denied Christ. Boy, that look right there had to have been convicting. As they took Jesus away, and Peter, he walked and took Jesus away. You know, our sin, and I know I made mention of this morning, ought to bring us to tears. There's a problem when we just pacify it. It shows a hard heart. By the way, we want to pacify it. You know, God will never do great things if we just want to harden our hearts to it. But you know what? God wants to do great things with you personally. God wants to do great things with this church, with me. I know that. But when we sin, instead of passing and laughing at it like we do on the television screen, why don't we go ahead and weep bitterly for the lost and for our sin? Oh, God. I can imagine when the Savior looked, that's what did it to Peter. He remembered what Jesus said. And he got on his knees. I don't know if he got on his knees, but he cried. He cried. Hey, but if you're part of the crowd that's just serving God, you want to stand strong. Daniel, come on up here again. This he won't be the one fallen, but he's going to be Jesus. Pretty good Jesus. But follow close to Him. Lead me. Follow. And you know what? You start hanging around with Jesus, who become your best friend. He'll give you a good crowd to run with. Yeah. Hey, you know what? These guys down here aren't so bad to hang with, are they?
No.
Pretty good crowd. Yeah. Greatest teenagers of all the world.
Sort of.
But you know what? He'll give you a good crowd to run with. And you know what? That's going to leave me saying, that's my Jesus. That's my Savior. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you. Thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus, God, to shed every drop of his blood. I'm going to tell everybody I can about you because you're my Savior. You may be seated. Hey, world, go ahead and get your hands off my Jesus. Hollywood, leave him alone. Mock at him all you want, but every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. Hey, Christian, we got to do the same. We got to do the same. Yeah, I know. I understand the pressures of the world poking at you. But you got to stand. Follow close to the Lord this week. And he'll give you the right crowd. You know, be looking forward to Wednesday night. You know what? Yeah, oh, Monday, Tuesday, this stupid world. Kick him in the shin. Get mad at the devil. But boy, I'm looking forward to being with a fellowship of the right crowd Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it. And through it all, tell people about Jesus along the way. Hey, let me tell you something about my best friend. Boy, he's the greatest friend I know. Why don't you decide tonight? Let's sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Christian, will you turn back? Will you? Maybe you'll make it this week and next month and even the next 6 months, but will you still stay strong next year? It takes a lot of work in this day and age. But you know, I just happen to believe, and you believe in our Savior. He's going to get you through every little squabble thing that you go through and the poking. But you know, I happen to believe we are in a great church. I'm a great pastor. Please don't misunderstand me. But we're to love one another, pray for one another, pray for each other's heartaches, burdens. And that's what's going to keep us in tune. Stay faithful to church. That's going to help you stay follow closely to the Lord. It's going to give you the right crowd to run with. And also give you the boldness to say, that's my Jesus. Peter was a great man. He really was. As I was saying earlier, you know, I think it might have been 30, maybe 40 days later, because God restored him, because he was restored. Look at who preached the day of Pentecost. Peter. And what a day that was. The results, man, it'd be awesome. Oh, I'd love to see it. But what a day that was. Church, I love you. Be praying for you. I'm going to bat for you. You go to bat for me too, please. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Where will we be next week, next year?
next 5 years, where we're going to be. It's going to take a lot of effort. You know, I use this statement a lot, and I'm through. Everything worthwhile takes work. I know my Jesus and serving my God and my Christian life, it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. Heavenly Father, love you. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to pastor these great people. And I know tonight, even there's some heartaches. There's some struggles in each and every life here tonight. I know that. Lord, I pray, God, that you give our church people the grace that they need to go through some of the heartaches that they go through and endure some of the mockery and some of the making fun or whatever the case may be. I pray, dear God, that even a week from now and a year from now, and that we'll still be looking towards the cross, looking to you and saying, that's my Savior. Peter made some mistakes. And just as Peter, we all make mistakes, and maybe some of us have slid back as we kind of talked about more this morning. But I pray, dear God, that we all, doesn't matter what position we are, maybe we're here tonight, we have backslidden, but we're still in your hand, and you still want to restore. And boy, you still want to use these people again. That backslidden Christian, you still want to use him. Because Peter, just after, about a month or so later, boy, you used him mightily to preach the greatest conference ever. And I pray, dear God, that you would just please bless. Bless these dear people, whatever decisions need to be made. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Music's going to play in just a moment. I don't know. I am sorry if some of the content might have been similar from this morning. But I know and I know and I know this is what Jesus, the Lord, laid on my heart to preach tonight. And I would ask you, whatever decision you need to make, why don't you decide when the music plays, or you can start moving even during my words now, why don't you decide that I'm just going to stand my ground. I'm going to be a good testimony for the Lord. Do everything I can to stand for Christ and admit that he's my Savior. The music's going to play. Whatever you need to decide tonight, won't you do it? That's it. That's it.
All right, could I ask, Brother Mann, would you come up and close in prayer for us this evening? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the message from the Word of God tonight and how it's challenged our hearts. Lord, I just pray as we wake up tomorrow morning, as we go into this lost and dying world, Lord, that we'll take that desire and, Lord, that we'll share it with all the divine appointments that you'll have for us tomorrow. Lord God, we do thank you for the Word of God that we do have. We thank you for this church and, Lord, the preacher. Lord, once again, we just pray you'll set a hedge about this place and help us to continue the work that's being done here. Lord, once again, we do love you, and we thank you for all that you have done for us. And, Lord, we just thank you for your blessings you're going to deliver to us tomorrow morning. We do thank you for all, and we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lee. Thank you, please.